Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcha?
It's another podcast.
Yeah.
We've actually managed to play enough to have a podcast.
Should we do what we're playing? One, we haven't done one of those in ages.
No, because we're not playing much anymore.
Well, there's stuff we're playing, which we can talk about now.
Yeah.
I got some things.
Are you going to start?
I'll start with Rift. I nominally still play MMOs quite a lot. Yeah, I got quite a busy week of static groups and things going on, but much of it's things we've talked about lots on the show already before. But Rift's got its summer seasonal event thing going, and you know how I am with those.
Yeah, you're not allowed those.
I'm pointedly not playing Star Trek Online over the summer period. I imagine they've probably got their grind your eyes out 35 days out of 40 event thing for a spaceship type thing going on.
Undoubtedly.
Now or soon or something like that. Probably going to be the recent Corvette. I don't know, there's like been a recent luxury liner that I missed. See, I'm getting quite good at this. I think I'm a well-rounded person. There's probably another spaceship. I don't care. I'm not going there. I'm doing it all in Rift instead.
We have our own spaceships now anyway.
Well, there's other spaceships to be had too. Yeah. So Rift Summerfest's back. It's essentially the same collection of scavenger hunt type multi-part one per zone events that are going on throughout the game. It seems to be happening in two stages as well. As I speak, we're on to phase two out of I don't know how many, but phase one's already happened. It basically adds more stuff each phase, so there's always stuff to go running around. You're collecting these little special currency called Summerfest Merits, and also there's another sort of currency called Summerfest Friendship Bracelets or something. And those are the ones that seem to regulate all the cool stuff. The rewards you can get, it's the usual sorts of things. Dimensions, which is their player housing. There's a quite a nice tropical beach one of those, which I'm grinding my way towards. Because, I don't know, I need structured content, and you've got to do something with these currency once you've got it all. There's all sorts of consumables, all sorts of equipment, planar essences, the sort of summer-themed ones of those to go in your focus there for your character upgrades and so on. Lots of consumables, a fair amount of cosmetic outfits. I think there's a special mount. It's always the mount that drives this stuff. I think, in my experience, players aren't that fussed about furniture and player housing type stuff, but if you put a special horse on offer,
yes, because people can't see if you've got the special.
It's very difficult
furniture.
To show off your special house if unless you sort of somehow trick and lure people into it, and there's rules against that sort of thing, I'm told.
The problem I find, but everyone's got this item for a couple of weeks when everyone cares.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, it's old and busted and no one cares.
I don't know. I still fly around in my very first Summerfest spaceship in Star Trek Online sometimes. And people stop and stare because it's been like 3 years since they were cool. So people have forgotten what they look like and they sort of get this weird hipster cool of their own after a while. That's what I tell myself. So I've been doing a lot of that. It's mostly go and find hidden things, one per zone, and there's quite a lot of zones in that game. I've got access to the content all the way up to 60. The 60 to 65 stuff, presumably there are scavenger hunts in the Nightmare Tide plane of water stuff. I just haven't got a character that's in there at the moment, so... But I've been doing a lot of galloping around, trying to find hidden shinies, and some of them are... It's usually a really variable thing going on there. You've got... Sometimes there's, like, you have to solve a riddle and go to a place, and there will be the thing. Sometimes you don't get any clues at all. Sometimes the quest giver's hidden, and you have to try and work out where he is. So I've been absolutely and unashamedly wikiing and spoilering this whole summer event for myself.
I'm shocked.
Life's too short. I've just sort of, you know, as I'm reading the next waypoint to go to solve the puzzle very quickly, I've sometimes wondered to myself what it would be like to have to figure this stuff out firsthand, first time through, and my conclusion is that you just wouldn't get it done. These summer events would just take far too long given any kind of realistic play schedule. You would never get all the ticks in the box before the end of the event. I don't know when the event is. I think it's on for another 2 weeks or so. It's not an all summer long till like mid-September type thing. I mean, there's a fairly short window of opportunity for it all, and presumably there's some big final celebration type thing in the weekend of it at the end of it all, but it shouldn't be too hard to go and find out the specific dates if you're worried about getting it all done in time. Yeah, some of them have sort of random spawning as well. There was a particular nasty one in Morban, which is like a sort of desert undead type zone in the Storm Legion area of Duskan. There's some bum sitting on a beach who basically wants you to go and find like 8 bottles of beer for him. And I just thought, wow, how is he managing to do this mind game on me? I'm racing around this vast, quite hostile desert looking for tiny beer bottles that are about less than a foot tall in character sizes, and they sort of sparkle when you get near them, but you have to be quite near. And there's no clues whatsoever, so I'm just working through a list of waypoints that are on a wiki. I think I'm using the Junkies Nation Rift site as a good walkthrough for most of these events. Seems to be quite comprehensive. But the problem is that I had to go earlier today, and it's Sunday when we're recording this. Of course, Sunday afternoons is typically peak time for most MMOs. It's when most people put most of their time into these MMOs. They'll get quite a lot done on a Sunday afternoon. So you've got limited resource spawning and like hundreds of players all trying to find these same beer bottles scattered around this map in cryptic fashion. So anyway, I came up with a useful strategy, if anyone listening cares. You have to think fifth dimensionally. This is the thing. So up in the top corner, you use your little portrait with your little face. If you right-click on that, you've got teleport to shard option, and then from there is a list of all the game servers. And Rift is particularly, kind in that it will let you jump across to different servers to play with friends who are on those other servers. So your character just literally teleports across. There's some restrictions. You can't interact with the auction house. You can't use the mail system. You can't actually give players stuff. I don't think you can group with them either. But you might be able to group with them, but the quest sharing goes all weird and stuff. Anyway, never mind about that. Playing with other people, my God, no, no. We're here to solo through the summer event. And so what you find is that if you're waiting for a rare spawn to come back, or somebody's already beat you to the chase or whatever, or the thing just isn't there because they like to be wacky with their spawn rates and stuff, just keep hopping through the list of servers. Basically, each time you pick the next server, your character would literally teleport to exactly the same place where they were before, but on a different server. And of course, different servers have different schedules for rotating for spawns and also for events and stuff. I mean, in general, it's quite a useful thing to do if you're particularly keen on, say, for example, taking part in just lots and lots of unstable artifact events. They're not always on all the time, but if you jump between different servers, you find that their schedule have a different timing, and you can find events that you actually enjoy and do them repeatedly, more so than just staying on your own server would let you do. You still get the rewards for it and all that, but for this summer event thing where it's all like tons of people just standing around this spot where the wiki says a thing will spawn, try one server over. See, parallel dimensions. If you hop from universe to universe, you can access all their resources and probably tear the multiverse a new one or something. I don't know. It saved me a lot of hassle there. It really has been useful. So yeah, there's a good bit of advice there. I'm chipping away at all this stuff. I'm going to have hundreds of these things and a whole load of furniture, and then I'm going to get bored of this dimension and the furniture because I'm not really there to play, Second Life or house decorating or whatever. I'm there to beat up monsters with pixels. So I don't know. I like the overall theme of it though, because it is essentially a good excuse to revisit old zones that you'd passed on out through. So come back and have another look through, find these hidden things. So doing quite a bit of that. The group's coming on. We're nearly at 50. I think we'll soon be ready to try stuff that isn't on the starter continent. Some of the expansion stuff that should be good. And I'm nearly 60 as well, my character, so I'm going to head off to the Plane of Water and have a go through some of
this. Is this because you keep buggering off to different servers to go find stuff?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure what world is my own now. Luckily, fortunately, it does actually have a return to home server option. It actually says that, because I can't actually remember what my server's called.
Is each individual server have subtle differences? Much like in the classic TV show Sliders.
Yes. Some of the servers have the Golden Gate Bridge is blue, not red. But apart from that, no, mostly the same. Although, yes, same actors in slightly different beards. No, they're literally identical apart from the spawn rate on rare drops and stuff. So, yeah, you avail yourself of them all. Sometimes you'll see other people who are clever and do this. You'll see them just appear out of nowhere, have a look around, and then vanish again. You think, wow, you just logged on and off. No, they're just hopping between servers till they find the shiny thereafter. Everyone else is doing it. Go for it. And I guess the auction house is shared between it all anyway, so I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure how it all works. But, visiting other dimensions to get summer stuff done.
Yeah. Cheating, in other words.
Cheating, yes. I'm saving up points so that I can get a bucket and spade. I think there is actually little sand castles you can have as furniture stuff. It's alternate gameplay, really, isn't it? That's the thing. I mean, yeah, okay. It's, a lot of people in our static group don't think much of the seasonal events, and I like them and dislike them. I think there's the time pressures and the stupid numbers of things you have to click to get the stuff is often a bit over the top. But I've always liked the idea that MMOs change throughout the year, different stuff. You know, they're responsive to the world changing. Yeah, and yes, you can get quite a lot of very stupid holidays in games just because there happens to be a real world holiday going on that don't fit the lore and stuff. But on the whole, it's nice to see an MMO at least partially adapting, you know, changing throughout the year, being slightly different, you know, different times you're playing it. Otherwise, you might as well just have a single player game that doesn't change, no expansions, no DLC, nothing. Having these things sort of come and go gives it a sense of place, a sense of world. I don't know. What do you reckon? Do you like seasonal event stuff? Or?
No, because they're usually massive grind fests that really make me annoyed and are the biggest reason for me stopping playing a game.
Yeah? Well, it drives you out because of the frippery and the stupid sudden quests. Well, you don't have to do them. I mean,
well, no, just the mere presence of them is enough to make me think, oh, yeah, this is a massive grind game. I'm going to play something which isn't a massive grind.
Yeah, well, I think you've just summed up MMOs entirely, really, haven't you? Yeah, so there you go. I think there's a certain sort of personality that enjoys playing massively multiplayer online role-playing games, and the seasonal events will feed into that and be that and then some, that with, like, snow on or that with Valentine's hearts on. But if you don't like the basic fundamental go out there and kill 100 doodads in with hotkey combat, then you're probably not going to enjoy a seasonal version of the same, are you?
No, it's highly unlikely.
Well, there we go. Well, then you talk about something for a bit.
I'm going to talk about The Witcher 3.
Okay.
Because The Witcher 3 came out, and I've decided I'm going to play this almost exclusively as far as single player games go until I complete the damn thing.
That sounds to me, I don't know a lot about these things, but it sounds like it's a bit of a sandbox, a bit of a lengthy story thing. Are you sure you're up to this commitment?
This is a story.
Oh, right. Here we go.
No, I've been spending my entire time wandering around the map, investigating little question marks on the map and resolving whatever problems there, usually with my swords.
Oh, okay. Lots of side questing going on there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's really nice. The game does something fantastic, which I really, really appreciate, which is you don't get much XP for killing people.
Right. So it always was a story-driven thing.
So you always get your XP through questing. So just going to an area and grinding, because I hate grinding, is not an option. You just need to get through all the quests.
Mm. Well, that's all right as long as it's not constantly throwing, you know, mobstacles at you as you're trying to get around the place.
No.
If it's trying to emphasise questing and story, then if every time you take a step into the woods, you just get mobbed by monster after monster after monster.
Most of them you sort of feel cheated
for not getting any compensatory XP.
No, it's not that bad. Most of them are very easy to kill, and it'll be stuff like wolf packs and things that you stumble across, and you can usually outrun them if you're on the horse.
Fair enough.
Or if you get a bit too close to a question mark, then you have a problem. But that's an XP giving little questoid.
Okay.
Like I got slaughtered by a griffin earlier because I wandered too close and thought, oh, I wonder what level that is. Yeah, by the time I found out what level it was swooping down on me.
Ah, right, okay.
One kill.
Too late to back out.
One hit kill, yay!
Oh, well.
Yes, when was the last time I hit F5? Oh, dear.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed doing that last half hour because you're going to do it again.
I hate games that don't have autosaves now, and this doesn't have an autosave that often.
It's a legacy of its PC roots, I think. Yeah. You know, back in the olden days on PCs, you have to say, we were responsible for saving our own progress.
I don't want to be punished for forgetting to save because I've enjoyed myself too much.
Yeah, but I bet after the third or fourth time it happens, you're saving every 10 steps.
Yeah, I am.
So you sort of get trained back into doing it, I suppose.
It's a really nice game. It looks gorgeous. I wish the weather was a bit better.
Yeah?
Yeah, the weather's uniformly bad. It's always windy or rainy.
Oh, that's because they probably want to show off their fancy weather.
Yeah, but all it is...
The engine doing lots of weather.
All it is they just put up the wind strength on speed tree. I know this because it's exactly that slider that I put up all that far and thought, oh, that's a bit far, I'm not going that far, and put it back down again.
I see the clip, I saw a bit of you playing it previous week, and it seemed quite windy, about to be stormy type weather, but I guess that I thought that was just a one-off.
It's almost constantly like that, or it'll be raining or drizzling. Occasionally it's actually sunny.
Yeah, okay.
Very rarely.
Yeah, so does that add to the sense of immersion, or has it just become a sort of awkwardness that stops you seeing things properly?
I desperately want a sunny day mod. I'm sure somebody will do one.
Oh, okay. Is there not some environmental weather options you can turn off and on in settings? Or is that all part of gameplay?
It's all part of gameplay, yeah. Okay. I could turn the graphics down to turn it all off and it would look rubbish. And that's not the point for owning this game.
I suppose not, no. It's quite beefy machine specs, are we talking? Because CD Projekt always have been quite...
They aim high.
It'll
run on a low-spec machine, but I'm sort of averaging around 60 frames a second on mine quite happily. So.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Cool. So what's the story? You don't know, do you? You got put in your starting tutorial thing and you just went left and kept running, did you?
You're looking for the young woman.
The young woman. Would that be Triss?
Yes.
Okay. Geralt's occasional long-term love interest.
Is it Triss?
I don't know. You were there.
Well,
you're the worst hero ever.
Might be a daughter.
I don't know who I'm looking for.
Young Witcher.
It's probably a woman. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, no, yes. Okay. I'm off looking for her.
Right.
And
damsel in distress of the generic sort that you don't know the name of. Okay.
Yeah. It would really help if I played the first two, because I get the feeling a lot of this stuff. It keeps asking me questions.
Yeah?
Yes. When you did this and this, what did you do?
Oh.
I don't know what that is and what the repercussions are.
That's because you haven't given it a save game from the previous two.
It's all well and good asking me what I did in this situation, but there's absolutely no context for me to know what the hell that situation was.
You don't care, though. You never really role play or invest. You should just pick randomly. It's like multiple choice questions, you know. If you just pick A's all the time, you're going to get 25% at least.
Yeah. Mm. You know how Mass Effect does it, and it's really quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the opposite. This is just brute forces it in a terrible way.
Well, I think you're meant to be a long-term fan of the series and feed it your Witcher 2 end game save game.
But the problem was, I started playing Witcher 2 on 360, and I got so annoyed at playing it on 360, I stopped playing it and thought I would play this on PC one day. And I haven't played it on PC one day yet.
Okay.
And I probably won't, because I'm about to completely wear myself out on Witcher 3.
Yeah, I mean, this long-running narrative series is a bit lost on you, really, isn't it? You don't like sort of five-volume doorstepper fantasy novels either, which is what this is in computer game form. That's the problem.
If you can't tell your plot in a short story, you've got too much plot.
I suppose, but...
You're just padding, then.
You're probably after a shorter sort of game, then, really, aren't you?
Nope.
Witcher 3 is very much the 1,000-page high-fantasy doorstopper of computer gaming, I think. I don't think you're going to make it to, like, Act 3, really. I think you're just going to burn out because you'll get irritated by the weather and not know what's going on.
It's highly possible. Also, Batman's out this week.
There we go. Yeah. More distracting, shiny. Batman, is that Arkham something or other?
Arkham Knight,
right. I'm about three behind on those now, I think.
Yes, okay. Ignore Arkham Origins. It's rubbish.
Okay. Cool. Arkham City, any good? I think that's probably the next one I need to see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Other things I really love about The Witcher, all the crafting is done by taking a document to somebody and saying, here, make this for me, instead of you being...
Omnidisciplinary handicrafter, yeah. That's a huge negative point for me. I do enjoy whittling.
Why am I learning to be a blacksmith? There's a blacksmith here! I'm using his forge, he's looking at me funny!
Skyrim problem. Get away from your forge, blacksmith. I require to use it to make the armor of God.
I've been blacksmithing for a whole 5 minutes. I know what I'm doing. Clang, 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 clang.
Yeah, a massive suit of ebony plate mail, and the blacksmith just staring at you, gritting his teeth, and white knuckled on the hammer. Okay.
Especially when you make the glass swords. Bang. Oh, another
ruined one.
I don't know if I got that. It's got saleable boats.
Sailing?
Yeah.
Are they trying to cash in on some of that Assassin's Creed 4 goodness?
It's not quite as good as Assassin's Creed 4.
Cannon broadsides.
I doubt it's the same on the console versions. It does seem to be quite...
it's a bit mini-gamey.
No, it does seem to be quite persistent. Because I crashed a boat hours and hours and hours ago. When I went back to reuse the boat, it was broken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have a finite number of boats that you are probably already all out
of. Okay, I found another one.
Okay. Can't you just go to a boatsmith with a piece of paper and say, make me a boat?
No. In the end, I just swam.
Swim? There we go, problem solved.
That way you can use a Witcher vision and you'll see chests on the bottom of the...
Right, so there's a sort of positive game disadvantage to using actual maritime transport.
Yeah, it's like using your horse. It means you can't just pick up every single herb.
Yeah, you have to get
past.
Off, pick up a thing, get back on.
Yeah.
So you end up just running everywhere and walking through lakes and stuff.
And getting killed by the fish people.
So you got the potion mechanic there, have you still?
Yeah.
You make your potions, you got your toxicity that builds up.
Oh, the lovely thing about that, of course, is whenever you meditate, it replenishes them. You don't have to make a stack of them.
Okay.
You just end up with a stack of three and you use them up, then the next day you've got them again.
Okay.
You make them back from alcohol, and I don't know how.
Well, the alcohol was always a base. It had to be quite strong alcohol as well. You couldn't use beer. It had to be spirits. And that was what Geralt always sort of started with to make the potions. So
you're unlocking them instead.
How's the combat feel? Because I have this real problem. I mean, the combat in the first game was very. It was essentially a reworked Neverwinter Nights engine that they used with a lot of tweaking and fiddling. So the combat was very much click on the enemy and then he'll just start swinging. And the skill was in clicking to get the timed combos going. But second game, I'm just having so much trouble with the console control. It's very block based all of a sudden. In
you've still got blocking, but it's light and heavy blows and it's really, really quite fluid and quite nice.
So it's a bit more intuitive than the second game, would you say? Okay, well, that's good. Because that's a bit of a problem I still really haven't surmounted, which is a shame because I want to play through Witcher 2, but just the combat keeps really winding me up. I keep dying, basically. I'm just not that good at it, and I can't work out why, because I was decent enough on the first game. Okay, so you got your steel sword and your silver sword.
Yep,
still don't know why.
Silver's
for monsters and steel is for men, but a stabbing someone through the head with a silver sword is going to kill a man too, so I don't know why he hasn't just wandered around with a silver sword. Is that ever explained still?
Nope.
Moving on.
Don't need to explain that. It's just cool having two swords and he only ever uses one at a time.
It's like staking vampires, isn't it? Anyone will die if you stake them through the heart. Okay, cool. So, you any idea how this is? Is that the ice cream van?
It is. Yay! Also, there's a helicopter that's been hovering overhead for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, it's the upgraded ice cream helicopter. Oh, awesome.
They know we're recording.
Yeah.
It's been quiet all day.
So, yes. So, is there lots of nookie going on in the story plots?
I'm trying to avoid it.
You're trying to avoid it. It was a bit copious in the first game. I think they toned it down a bit for the second one, but very much, is it still an 18?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
There's an awful lot of not understanding the physics of cleaving somebody in twain.
Oh, gosh. Ludicrous Gibbs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Occasionally, you'll just split someone from shoulder to the opposite hip. That's not that easy.
Quite a lot of bones along that path, along that axis. Uh-huh. Fair enough.
He'll just do it out of hand because he's a witcher and clever and got funny coloured eyes.
Yep.
And can grow his beard back.
He's a badass. Oh, growing facial hair, is that the thing?
Yeah, he forcibly gets shaved earlier on, and then through the rest of the game, his facial hair grows back.
Is that like a sort of story-based peril timer? By the time his beard gets to a certain length, it all goes wrong.
Something like that. But yeah, no, it's really, really good. I really, really like it.
Okay. So I'll have to wait for that. I think one after my next PC upgrade, I might have a look at that, probably.
Yeah, it'll work on your current PC.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. But now I've got this problem that I don't want to do the stuff out of order, so I've got to finish the second game before I start the third.
Well, that's no problem with that.
Yeah. Well, I need to crack on with it. I've been just massively absorbed by all sorts of other games.
Yeah. You can tell me what the start of three means.
Fair enough. So the whiteboard diagrams explaining Geralt and his travails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the inevitable next game?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Space Engineers.
Anyone who looks at our YouTube channel will guess what it is. Yes.
So we've been doing this Space Engineers Let's Play. Is it these things called, are they?
Some sort of
video thing of us being incompetent in Space Engineers. But I've been playing a bit of it solo, offline as well. Working on because I think the big plan with the Space Engineers series that we're doing is to have a massive spaceship and go on adventures like in Battlestar Galactica, but I generally, that means that we're not going to develop up much of the way of asteroid bases or what have you, so that's what I'm developing on my solo game. So I've been experimenting with hangar doors, pressurized air hangar doors and stuff to, I don't know why really, it's that whole business of why do we need oxygen again?
Yeah.
Why do we need pressurized areas? Because we can, because it's cool and clever. So I've been developing that up a bit. I've got my murderous construction drones. They've settled down a bit now. They're not killing me nearly as often now, which is good.
That's good news.
Yeah. Well, this is the sort of remote-controlled drones. But the problem with that is the business end of any... And this is the same for grinding and construction ships as well. The business end is essentially a very high-powered melee weapon. So you have to sort of be a bit careful with your little spaceman flying in front of it because you tend to sort of die almost instantly when you get welded in the head. And I forget that I'm piloting the drone and sometimes forget where I put myself, and so I end up managing to kill myself in remote control mode, which is, bad, really. It interferes with the control of the
you don't want to use
the task, yeah. So I've been looking, watching all the patches as they've come and gone. They're doing one a week.
Yes, they do one a week. It's quite scary.
So regular listeners will know that I bitch a lot about beta testing, open betas and early access and stuff, and somehow managed to trick myself into joining an early access game. And one thing I have missed about being at the forefront, the bleeding edge, as it were, of a game's development is the constant updates, the sort of every week stuff's happening, because we're still at that point in the game where the people making it care immensely about it. You know, by the time I saunter up to a game normally, it's sort of about 2 years after all development stopped on it. They're not even doing DLC or expansions anymore. And I just sort of, you know, you get the game and that's that. And sometimes there'll be some fan-made mods maybe, but on the whole, it's a static experience. But there is a certain, I don't know, I wouldn't say excitement, but it's certainly interesting to see new stuff coming down the pipe every week into the game and game-breaking bugs being fixed slowly.
Yeah, and introduced.
Reintroduced, so yeah. So we had one where, so around the point where I bought it, there was a persistent bug where about half the time when you got out of a spaceship cockpit you would just get killed instantly. I think that was linked to another bug where when you log on your jetpack just went out of control immediately.
Yep.
And killed you. Bit of a game breaker, you know. It's a Russian roulette about whether you want to get out of your spaceship again ever. They've managed to fix that though. I haven't had that happen since, so it looks like they've got a, you know, reasonable bug fix process on the go. Then there was they introduced a whole load of scenario stuff. I remember, did you see the forum post about that when they added the racing scenario stuff? Oh my God,
people are angry.
I'd forgotten about this aspect of the early access game, the entitlement that goes with it. You know, the I've given you $20, therefore your ass is mine, and you need to justify everything you do on this project to me personally. And I thought, well, yeah.
You've released a patch with loads of stuff I didn't want in it. It's a weekly patch, I know, and next week there may well be something I do want, but I'm going to be angry anyway.
How dare you put a feature I am not personally interested in? I'm going to rant on the board, and then I think one chap was trying to organise a campaign to start, you know, massively downvoting it on Steam. Or, you know, putting loads of negatives on Steam. You know, I will destroy you for this travesty of was it a racing scenario?
Yeah,
fly through loops and stuff.
It's the first bit of the multiplayer gameplay.
Mm, yeah,
and so it's racing through hoops and the first person to win. Basically, it's the most simple.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's the most simple scenario you can put in that gives you things to do and also a game state for winning.
It's a very sandbox thing at the moment. It's very much like Minecraft. You just got to make your own entertainment, and that's fine for a lot of people, myself included. I'm quite happy to get on and just start tinkering with stuff, but a lot of people buying this will dive straight in and go, well, there's nothing to do, you know. There's no form of structure, no sort of quests or missions or anything like that, no story. It's not that sort of game, I didn't think, but they are going, they seem to be putting a lot of scenario support in. See, that was what I took away from that when I saw, oh look, a racing scenario, and I thought, well, yeah, I'm not that fussed about racing, but it's a scenario.
Yeah, and
suddenly we have a whole new framework for putting in, you know.
And do you know what this week's patch was?
Structured, directed content.
This week's patch was adding deathmatch.
Deathmatch scenario, yeah.
Kills and respawning ships.
I expect there was an awful lot less complaining about that on the forum.
Do you know how they do the respawning ships?
No.
It's quite clever. They're using, of course, the projectors.
Yeah.
But now projectors have an instant create mode.
Oh, okay. And so a sort of creative mode for the projector, so it just goes poof and
but also you can restrict it so it can only spawn so many blocks, so that you can have it if you have
it. Essentially becomes a sort of ticket system for a deathmatch game. Eventually you'll run out of resources. Clever.
It's really quite clever and interesting.
I was looking at their dev blog, they got some links to that, and they had a guest post from the chap who's doing the planets. I think that's the big thing that the community, if such a thing exists at this stage, is looking forward to, is the introduction of actual planets to Space Engineer.
I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to cause merry hell with our world.
Well, possibly. I mean, there's lots of asteroids scattered around in the average Space Engineer's playfield, and you can build bases on them, you can mine them and so on, but that's about it.
Yes, there's less asteroids in ours than there was last week.
The asteroids are about, what, a couple of hundred metres across, generally?
Yeah, there's some really small ones but some quite large ones. Yeah.
So, but these planets, it sounds like the interesting technical challenge they were trying to overcome was how do we put planets in and have them be anything other than just very big spherical asteroids? So that you know, we want to make really big planets. They're not making life-size planets that are like, you know, sort of thousands of kilometres across, but they're going to be a couple of hundred kilometres across. And you're going to be able to land on them. Some of them will have atmospheres and so on, vegetation, grass and all the rest of it. But the the idea is to have these enormous objects very far away, much further than the draw distance for the normal asteroids, so that they can hang there as a kind of backdrop and yet somehow still be able to be flown to and landed on.
Yep.
Sounds like quite a challenge.
I don't know how we're going to modify our ship for a landing. Can barely fly.
I don't think it's going to be a landing thing, no. So looking forward to that. I mean, yeah, just lots of stuff coming through, lots of interesting things. I mean, the stuff that's there already is interesting enough, the different sorts of block that exist and how they interact. I mean, I'm sort of mostly dabbling at a very superficial level, just using armor blocks to make dumb houses and dumb platforms and stuff. But it's trying to work out how to use things like programmable blocks and these rotors and pistons and sensors and all that, timing blocks and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's definitely quite a high degree of customizability and complexity available to construction in there. It's just such a fantastic Lego set. I'm just not bored of it at all yet.
No, well, spoilers for the Let's Play. Oh. We're actually a bit further on than you can see because we've got a small buffer of episodes.
Mm.
And very soon I might have to start coding on them.
Oh, my God. And I'm not sure I feel safe about this. I mean, remember, only you can stop Machine Uprising.
Yeah. No, we got an airlock on the main ship and I might have to script it.
Oh, okay. Why can't we just push the button?
Because I need to evacuate the air from inside the airlock.
Oh, okay. Right.
It'll be fine.
I was planning on just having loads and loads of ice spare and we'll just keep venting it every time anyone uses the door. But that's probably not the elegant solution.
Actually, with my new mining ship, we may have too much ice anyway.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so it turns out that a couple of the other folks in the Steam group have gotten together and put together a little bit of a multiplayer server. It's a very temperamental thing. I mean, there's lots of people.
Temperamental's being kind.
When people bitch about space engineers, they're mostly bitching about the multiplayer netcode on dedicated servers. There's problems with pistons and rotors not syncing up properly, and sometimes we have these occasional bouts of unrecoverable server-side lag that sort of it seems like a frame rate problem, but everyone gets it at once.
Yeah.
So it's the server itself is hitching everything, and there's no way to recover from that except to restart the server. So presumably people are reporting this stuff, and you know, that's part of the implied contract when you join an early access game.
There's also quite a lot of stuff with things attached with landing gear wobbling.
Yes. I think you might have seen some of that in the Let's Plays we're doing.
I haven't quite got to that yet.
Oh, okay.
That's this week.
Oh, well, you're in for a treat then, yeah. But there's some really quite weirdness with the landing pad feet, which have a sort of magnetized clamp mechanic, which can go a bit mental sometimes on multiplayer
servers. If only somebody hadn't have removed the ones that were on the station to start with for components.
I didn't realize what they were. I thought they were just junk that was there to help us get started. It turns out they're actually quite important functional components for getting your first spaceships built without them flying off into space.
Yeah. But still, hey-ho. now we're completely space-based.
Space is where space is the place. Yeah. It's where
we're just getting ready to set off for our first encounter.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a general invite on the Steam group server there, but have a look for details there if you fancy toddling along and lending a hand. I've taken on when playing on that one, I've taken on the job of working on the actual base itself. I'm going to drive into the asteroid, build a whole massive internal hangars and turn it into Earth space dock, basically.
If you need to dig into an asteroid, would you like my services?
No, precisely not. I don't want a mining ship doing it because I'm trying an experiment to see if a cave in an asteroid can be made airtight.
No.
And pressurized.
No, it can't.
You know, what? So it has to all be armor blocks.
Yeah.
Oh, so the rocks are what, porous?
I
don't know. This is what I'm trying to find out. So I've driven a massive tunnel in and built a sealed airlock, and then the other side of that airlock, I'm going to try and dig in a cave and then seeing if I can fill it with air.
I don't know the answer to that.
It might work. If so, that would be cool. If not, then I'll just have to sort of clad it all internally. But yeah, basically, I'm going to hollow out the asteroid and turn it into a hollowed out volcano lair. But you don't have volcanoes in space, so we would just have to use an asteroid.
I'll build a mining ship.
I'm thinking a massive atrium, big central well, docking stuff off the side. It's a bit like space stations in EVE Online. That's what I got in mind. It's going to be a big job, take a while. The rest of the gang on the server seem to be well into the capturing and the red spaceships, bringing them back and proactively salvaging them. So
I assume they've discovered the...
Oh, we haven't had any incidents yet. Oh. No, but looking forward to that.
There's no incidents.
There are no incidents. It's all good. So it turns out, yeah, that most of the folks on that server are just not that into mining because all the material needs they can get from spaceships in pre-made component form.
Oh no,
obviously not building big enough things yet.
Yeah, no, I've considered this and I've done the numbers and. No, you need my mining contraptions to build. It's the
Your
iron. The iron is the problem.
Okay, fair enough. Well, yep. Yeah, so there's lots of people on there designing and building their first little mining ships and heading off to nearby asteroids.
I would
and
say
stockpiling. It's all good.
Grab any thruster components you can.
Fair enough. Pro tip there. So yeah, I mean, I got my own single player Minecraft Space Engineers thing going. I got the Let's Play we're doing as well. And then there's the How to Murder Time Steam group. Server there that Trinit's kindly put together for us. So lots of space engineering generally. I'm sort of aware of the concept of burnout, but it doesn't seem to be happening yet. So.
Well, there's a lot to do, and the good thing about it is
a lot of a lot to do with surprisingly small amount.
And it's an awful lot of being creative. So if you get bored, you just make something more interesting.
Something I'm finding as well is the difference between when we sort of host the every now and then we'll start up a Minecraft world and we'll go off and do stuff in there. But what seems to happen in those is that everyone will scatter to the four corners of the map and start building a massive underground lair or a big hollowed out mountain or whatever, and then they'll sort of tinker around with their own projects individually, maybe chat a little bit on the chat channel. With this, we've got one space platform and we're all on it, we're working on the same stuff, and it does seem to lend itself far more so than Minecraft to actual collaborative work, people literally lending a hand on the same project. Whereas what seemed to happen in Minecraft is it's the sort of world where you've got an infinite amount of space for everyone to spread out and essentially become little hermits with their massive boxes of stuff.
Minecraft is about intricate builds and being self-sufficient and everything, whereas this is really hard to be self-sufficient.
I suppose that Agrarian Skies thing's probably more suited that than if you're going to have a big team of people in a Minecraft server that are actually going to work together on the same stuff. But then, you know, there's a time and place for that, and it's nice to have a bit of space to do your own thing as well. So I'm thinking that once we get a bit more established on this server, we're going to... Because I think Trinit picked the two platforms
start. Yeah, he did. I had a
you had a peek, yeah. So I might start a new faction over on Platform B and then start building warships or something at some point.
I could do that.
Or possibly we need three platforms. One neutral platform where people who don't want to get rocketed can carry on tinkering away at stuff.
No, it's the one platform where once a year we have to send delegates.
It sounds familiar. Yeah. No one's seen Team B in 10 years. We think they look human now.
They don't look human.
Yeah. Well, no spacesuits. It's hard to tell who's who. Someone could be wearing my colours and I wouldn't know. Yeah. They'd be impostering as me. So, yeah, I'm massively enjoying Space Engineers still at the moment, and I can see it lasting a while.
Yeah.
And particularly since it's currently still being developed. I mean, this is the price I pay for being all 3 month rule and, don't play games until they've been out for 2 years, wait for a Steam sale. It's that by the time I come to these games, there's nothing new happening. There's no buzz, there's no real community about it. It's just a thing that I play.
This is an example of.
And I'm aware of that cost.
Yeah, this is an example of early access being done properly. The game is fun and playable.
It
has
is.
Been
oh,
for
absolutely.
A long time.
Absolutely.
And they're just
playable,
adding more to it.
Yeah. This is not a case of you know, perhaps 50-50 chance of logging in after a patch and finding the whole thing just doesn't work, or there isn't literally nothing to do. It's just a space, you know, that you hover in. There's loads to do in there at the moment, and there's more stuff coming as well. So it's a good time to be on board, I suppose. I'm just such a hypocrite, really, aren't I?
Yeah. And there's also Medieval Engineers.
I'm not that so interested in that. I mean, I understand that it is effectively crossbows and catapults.
You will be. They added the crossbows and catapults mode.
Yeah. I hadn't bought it. I'd only bought the Space Engineers. I have to pick up Medieval. I want to wait till Medieval Engineers is as well developed as
Medieval
Space Engineers
is well back on the development.
Yeah,
they only started
Medieval Engineers
later.
Much further back, a lot less to do, but it still looks promising. And of course, cross pollination of the technologies
it's the same
involved.
Engine.
Yeah,
I've been reading the source code of the engine. Yeah. Actually, they did some check-ins which mentioned planets this week.
Okay. Yeah. It's not going to be long. I mean, probably within a month, I expect we'll see the planets there and ready to go.
So I do wonder what it is going to do to our world.
Oh, I hope we don't lose a save game or something. I have to start again. That would be terrible, especially for the people having to watch through it all again.
If that happened, then the world would change, but all of our ships would move out.
Oh, fair enough.
I would cheat.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Not that I've gone through the entire world with text editors and hex editors and learned how they worked.
No.
Because it was quite fun.
So there I am, Space Engineering. What about you?
I'm going to talk about a mobile game.
Oh, crikey, they still do those. Yeah. Is that still a thing?
Fallout Shelter.
Oh, I've seen all sorts of commentary on this, yeah.
which is basically a Tiny Tower style, not quite as advanced as Tiny Tower, building thing, but in the style of the start of Fallout 3. You know, the little
cartoon Pip-Boy type stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a bit where they go in the, and there's the hill and the vault underneath.
Okay.
Yes, and it's much in, along those lines.
So what, you build the vault, expand it with new rooms, yeah, new technologies and so on, new people?
You unlock rooms the more people you get. Mm-hmm. It's basically a game about making people breed.
Oh, right. It sounds quite dystopian.
It is. Well, it's not meant to be. It's the same in all of these survival things. It always comes down to how many babies can you make.
Yeah, yeah. It seems a bit distasteful, I suppose, to modern sentiments and stuff.
But when in...
And when there are only like 1,000 humans left in the whole world, then you probably do need to start implementing some quite distasteful social engineering policies if you want the human race to come back again. Yeah.
So I've seen people complain about the game for
like farming,
reasons,
human farming simulator. Yeah, thinking,
you raise a valid point, but also.
Yeah. I mean, if that were a real situation, then yes, it would be insane not to enforce all women of childbearing age to be pregnant as often as possible. You know, that's how you would get through a situation like that, and that seems to be what the gameplay is.
I suspect all that...
A lot of people, a lot of bloggers and stuff are finding that sort of ethically challenging.
I suspect if that happened, all you'd end up with is a lot of really, really grumpy women.
Probably,
followed quite quickly by a revolution.
Yes, yes. I just think it's... I mean, you're down to one vault's worth of people, it's not going to repopulate the human race. As we've seen in numerous retellings of the tale of Fallout, there's so much stuff can go wrong. I think you're just finished, really. Nuclear war. Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, sounds cheery.
Yes, you've got your special stats, and you unlock rooms that train each one up, and perception's used for... some of the rooms
shooting mostly.
No, I think it's used for generating electricity.
Oh, okay.
Agility's used for working in the diner.
Okay.
Yeah, and strength for working.
It sounds like a crappy tie-in cash cow.
Can
you buy bottle caps or something from the cash shop?
You can buy lunch boxes.
Yes,
but
what are those?
They're basically a deck of cards, which one rare and a bunch of others. There'll be some resources.
Okay, the Magic the Gathering sort of model.
Yeah, it'll be either 50 water or whatever, or it'll be a new gun or a new outfit.
Oh, literally lockboxes then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there'll be a person in there or a good gun or something as well.
Right.
But at no point does it ever say, you know what, now... you should really buy one of these to make this game go faster.
Oh, so they sort of forgot to put any advertising in there.
No, they forgot to put any timers in there.
Oh, okay.
The rooms tick down and generate resources over a couple of minutes,
yeah,
which you can make faster by giving people and higher resources in there.
Uh-huh.
But at no point can you pay to speed that up. The rush button just rushes it with a percentage chance of not working.
I think that must have been initially a pay-for feature, but possibly. I reckon something happened during the development to say, oh God, we better... Probably they looked at, like, Dungeon Keeper or something.
Yeah, I would say happened during the development was Dungeon Keeper. Because this has been stripped back so far, I bought a bunch of them because I felt sorry for them.
Oh, wow. I suppose, I'd like to say that's probably the best way to do free-to-play, but...
you know what?
It's not really sustainable.
It was one of the top couple of paid apps this week.
Making the most revenue. So despite not having a really in-your-face cash shop...
People were still
giving them money. Well, I suppose that's... good.
Yeah, it is good. It's perfect.
It says good things about both us as consumers and them as developers. Yeah. You know, we're all grown-ups, we're all treating it maturely. Yeah,
we can all be trusted.
Yeah, yeah. You know, someone's got to pay, someone's got to earn some money to bring this entertainment to us. But the more we can load that onto a voluntary type basis, the better, I suppose, because it means that people are chipping in because of positive reasons, not because they feel like they're being have to or they're being squeezed out of gaming.
The game's not without problems.
Yeah, it sounds quite shallow, I suppose.
Yeah, it is as shallow as you can get. All
not
you're
really
doing
a, not
is
really a 4-hour session job.
You're balancing water, electricity, and food.
Yeah, so ratio management. Yeah. Then
For the number of people you've got and the number of rooms you've got. And then you just need, once they're balanced, all you have to do is make sure the best people are in the right rooms and train up the people to make them better.
That sounds very much like Tiny Tower, yeah.
Yeah. But, and that's it. Oh, and you can send people off into the wasteland to go out and explore and find stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what's the point of this? This clearly is not its own massive project, is it? This is some sort of advert for the ongoing Fallout series, I suppose.
Keep it relevant,
because with the reveal being announced recently and stuff.
It doesn't, as far as I can tell, tie into it yet, but
there may be carry
who knows what's going to happen before the end of the year.
I heard that you're going to need to download a special Steam-type client to play Fallout 4. Is that all scurrilous rumours?
No, they've decided that they're launching their own client and store.
Oh, God, another one.
Because we need another one.
Yeah, which means I get so sick of these things.
I may not actually be playing Fallout 4 now, because I've decided I'm not going to sign up for these things, because they will just get hacked.
Yeah, I mean, I've pretty much just gotten to the point where I will only buy games that are on Steam now, mostly because I just don't want to deal with the hundreds of these things, one from every blinking publisher, you know. Got your Uplay, Origin, I've done this rant before, it sounds familiar. But, now, sort of, so for everyone's going to try and bundle up their big, you know, money-earning franchise behind one of these each, just to try and stiff Steam out of the equation or something?
Well,
and I don't know.
It'll still be available for Steam. When you play these games on Steam, all it does is start the other client and then the game.
Yeah, that was what made me furious with Anno 2070 as well. I thought, I quite like that game. I saw you playing it. I thought, I'll give it a go. I thought, I'll buy it on Steam. And no, you buy it on Steam and then Steam launches the Uplay thing.
Yeah,
and
needs to update.
Which it needs to update. And by the time it's sorted all that out, you're just bored and don't want to play anyway. I've done it to me a couple of times. But so now we've got two permanent start and stay resident in the system tray guff that's, you know, clagging the machine up more and more, and a lot of it's got the DRM built into it all as well, and it just, you know, have they got a system in place for when their servers are turned down? Is there, you know, will the last patch remove this crap just to
probably
leave
not,
the game
no.
playable? No, it'll just go away and that'll be that. We'll have had our entertainment because we only ever rent things
and
now.
Then somebody will crank it and it'll be fine.
Well, yeah, it does tend to send people scurrying off in search of the dark arts to ameliorate some of this stuff, I think. So, yeah, I probably won't bother with Fallout 4 then.
Yeah, no.
I imagine the franchise will be a bit tired by then. Anyway, I still haven't played New Vegas, so that's got something to look forward to.
New Vegas is quite good.
Yeah, so, I mean, do we want just Steam dominating the PC like its own console?
No, we want everything from Good Old Games, where you give you the option of using a client if you were crazy enough to want to.
Well, the choice is increasingly, Good Old Games is probably an exception to the rule, but what we're starting to see is that you either choose the almighty Steam or everyone runs their own one of these nightmarish, you know, lobby shops, you know. And I'd rather if people just did what they used to do back in the like 90s and early noughties. The game was just a game, it came with an installer and then you start it and you play. But no, because we're all thieves. All PC gamers are thieves. Fact.
I know it's not about copy protection.
No,
it's about upsell.
Oh, it's about the when you close the game, we need to be able to show you an advert.
Because Steam will show you adverts for other games.
Yes.
We will show you adverts for our other games.
I'm terrified and resentful in equal measure of the social engineering Steam attempts to perform on me every time I fire any game.
Really resenting Steam. I didn't even play the Steam game for the
We've
sale.
Created you an infinitely scrolling list of games that are quite similar to games you already own. Please click through. And then you close the game and look, look at these prices. And it's a Steam sale as well. This is a familiar rant. I'm going to stop.
Yeah. Anyway, Fallout Shelter, it's good. There's something compelling and fun and addictive about that kind of game. And it's nice to be able to play in a box where it's not egregiously trying to rip you off.
It sounds like a well-meaning version of the genre example. But
so if you like that kind of game, play this one because it's better for you.
I don't think I like that kind of game.
No, they are a little bit shallow. He said, knowing full well that he's still building up his vault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Cool. So, anything else?
No, I think that's all the games that I've played.
Right, I'm out too, because it's mostly Space Engineers.
It's always Space Engineers.
I must look into some other games
he
as
said,
well.
He said currently logged on to Space
There's been
Engineers.
Some Guild Wars, and there's been some Dungeons & Dragons Online, but not an awful lot to report there. More to report soon with DDO, though, because one of the only things I bought in the Steam sale was some of their expansion bundles with extra content and things. So, soon we'll be getting to parts of DDO I haven't ever seen before, so I might be able to talk about those, which will be good.
Excellent.
But with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.